You are listening to the Delane MD podcast, the podcast for health professionals struggling to lose weight. If you are a physician, nurse, PA, or other clinician looking to permanently shed those pounds, stop overeating, feel better, and prevent disease, Dr. Vaughn offers practical strategies and tools to overcome the many challenges that undermine weight loss efforts. Now here's your host, Dr. Delane Vaughn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Delane MD podcast. So for those of you who are in the Midwest, you know how horrible cold it's been. I'm recording this on a Friday, and all I want to do is sit with my long pants on and my big socks on and my UGG boots and be warm in front of a space heater. But I've made a commitment to recording these podcasts, so I am here tonight recording this podcast. For those of you who are enduring our long winter, though, keep at it. I know it's been hard. It's certainly been hard for me. I'm so ready for the spring. So for anybody who has been wondering what the one thing is that they can do to help them lose weight and lose weight permanently, I am going to talk about that today. This podcast today is about journaling. So for anyone who's heard my Facebook Lives on journaling, this is going to be similar. If you're wanting any more information about journaling, certainly that information's out there on the Facebook Live. Go check that one out also. So first off, why is journaling important? One, it's an accountability tool. People use it to see what they've been eating and to keep track of what they've been eating. But two, it's one of the few weight loss tools that we have seen associated with long-lasting weight loss. So that's why I always recommend to clients that they do journal their food. In this podcast, I'm going to talk not just about journaling your food, but also other components that I expect folks to journal. So first off, many people have tried journaling and they've tried different variations of journaling and they have found it to be very burdensome. That is not what I'm talking about. Journaling that I'm talking about should really only take a couple minutes a day. It should not take a long time. Remember, this is providing you data for you to go back and look at and determine what you need to do differently or what you need to do the same. Again, this provides you an accountability, partly because I expect folks to start their journal 24 hours before they're eating. So remember, we talk about the 24-hour plan. You make a plan 24 hours in advance, and then you do not change it no matter what. So part of journaling is providing accountability. Part of journaling is providing data that you can look back at and make adjustments to. These are the benefits to journaling. So what to include when you're journaling? So first off, there are four components that I recommend people include in their journaling. The first is the weight, your daily weight. The one thing that I get more pushback about than journaling is pushback regarding daily weights. I've heard every excuse. I've heard people tell me how it's not healthy to weigh daily, how when you weigh daily, you're looking at things other than what you've eaten, like water weight, or if you've taken in too much salt, you're dealing with that, not real weight. I've heard clients tell me that it leads to body dysmorphia. I've heard every excuse under the sun. So again, many of you have heard me say this, but I'm going to say it again. The scale is a tool. It is nothing special. It cannot make you feel anything. It is merely a tool that measures your gravitational pull towards the earth. That's all it is. If you feel crappy after you weigh yourself, my suspicion is that has far more to do with your thoughts than anything else. We need to talk about that. We need to work through that. We do not need to stop weighing ourselves daily. Nobody gets angry at the thermometer, even though right now I struggle. It's so cold and bitter outside. I struggle with this. But nobody seriously gets angry with the thermometer. A thermometer outside measures the air temperature, nothing more. Even me, somebody who really hates the cold weather, I do not get angry at the thermometer even when it says it's 20 degrees outside. It has nothing to do with the thermometer. That's why I don't get angry with it. The scale and what it reads has nothing to do with the scale. It has to do with 100 other factors. Factors that you cannot possibly learn to manipulate and control if you're not getting the information that comes from that scale. So, I want everybody to weigh themselves daily. If you have a problem with this, you need to let me know so we can work through those thoughts, okay? Because that's all that's getting in the way. Remember, if you're making a dietary choice and you're not looking at the scale to see how that choice affects the scale and your weight, it is very hard to reach your weight loss goals. An example of this, if you're using nuts during the day, like almonds or cashews or macadamia, to get high fat, moderate protein into your diet, but you're not weighing yourself every day, you do not know how those nuts are affecting your weight, how they're affecting your end goal. You don't know it unless you're weighing yourself every day. If you wait and weigh yourself once a week, you have a week of those decisions you're going to have to deal with. If you're gaining weight every day with that choice, whether it be nuts or baked potatoes or whatever it might be, you won't know that because you're only weighing yourself once a week. So it's very important that you weigh yourself daily. So weight is the first part of your food journal every day. The second part of your food journal actually starts the night before. Again, it's when you write down your plan. This part involves a little more attention. So one, you have your plan that was written the night before. And then in addition to that plan, you have what you actually ate. Sometimes this changes. Ideally, it doesn't, but sometimes it does. So reasons that this might change include you are getting your salad out of the refrigerator at work and you accidentally dropped it and your salad went all over the floor. You didn't have anything to eat. So in that case, you have to change what you are going to eat. Other changes, maybe you made your lunch and you put it in the fridge. And maybe a teenager came home late at night after they had gotten off of work and they said, oh my God, that food and those dishes look delicious. I think I'll go ahead and have that. And suddenly you don't have your lunch anymore. So then again, you have to change it. Maybe this was totally innocent. Maybe they thought that they were just leftovers in a container in the fridge, right? But either way, your lunch is not ready for you in the morning. So you're going to have to change that plan on the fly. Other times it changes is when you are hungrier than you expected to be. And so you eat a little more. Or you had a really crappy day and you make a choice in the moment to buffer with food instead of eating only what's on plan. All of that needs to be recorded. The reasons why you made any changes, that needs to be recorded. Your thoughts, your feelings, what you actually ate, all of it needs to be recorded. Because you're not going to know how those changes affect your weight if you do not record them. The other thing that I expect people to record is their hunger scale. So many of you know I recommend using a hunger scale far above using something like quantity, how many ounces you eat, how many cups of a food you eat, how many tablespoons of something you eat, or how many calories you eat. I don't recommend using any of those. I recommend using a hunger scale alone. So if you need some information, go back to the podcasts and the Facebook Lives that talk about the hunger scale. But basically, it is a scale going from negative 10 to positive 10, zeros in the middle, zeros completely content, you're neither hungry nor full, and I recommend eating between a minus 4 and a plus 4. So a minus 2 is the first waves of hunger that you start to feel during the day. A minus 4 is a persistent growling in your stomach or hunger feeling. A plus 2 is food in your stomach, but you could still make a run around the block. A plus 4 is food in your stomach, but you could only walk around the block. You could not comfortably run around the block. So I recommend clients record their hunger scale. They record their weight every day. They record their planned food. And then they record also their actual food, any thoughts, feelings, or reasons for a change in their planned foods. So you log all of this each day. Some people choose to do this on their phone, like in the notes section. I use OneNote because I can get it on my computer as well as on my phone. Some people do it on paper, journals, and all of this is fine. There is no specific place you have to keep it. I have in the past used an email. So I made a fake email account, like at Gmail. I can't even remember where it was, but I would email it to myself. So you can record it anywhere. If you're a client of mine, I would recommend you do it in some digital format because it's easier to cut and paste it then and send it to me. I do expect all of my clients to email me every day with their weight, with their planned food, with the actual food they ate the day before, and then the hunger scale where they were the day before. So the reason all of this is really important is because then you analyze this data just like any other data collection. That's why data is so important. You get to analyze it. So you look at your weight and you look at what you've been eating. You also look at things like overeats. And of course, you will see when you overeat that you have weight gain. You're having a hard time maintaining your weight. You're seeing the scale climb up. When you don't overeat and you stick to your plan faithfully, you won't see that weight gain. And if you aren't seeing weight loss, even when you're sticking to your plan, then you probably need to adjust the plan. Sometimes people will come to me and they'll be like, can I have my protein shakes? Can I have oatmeal? I just had that question come to me. Can I have French fries? Can I have a baked potato? You guys are grown-ass people. You can eat whatever you want, but you won't know how these foods affect you if you're not writing them down, then comparing them to your weight so you can tell if they're working for you. I found that sometimes when I ate too much fruit with whipped cream, I wouldn't lose weight. Also, I don't think cashews do me very well. I think cashews tend to be a little more carby, probably have a higher insulin spike for me, and I don't do as well with that. I'll tell you what I know tried and true works like a gem for me. Cottage cheese. Cottage cheese, almonds, and a vegetable. That is my go-to. And how do I know it's my go-to? Because I have months and months and months of documented food journals where I can look and see when I ate that, I felt full, I felt satisfied, and I lost weight. All of that is so important, and you don't have that information if you're not actually journaling it. So when you're done with your week on Saturday or Sunday, you look back at your journal and you tell yourself, okay, this worked, that didn't, that wasn't good, I overeat there. Did I overeat because I was hungry, because I didn't pack enough food, because I didn't plan well enough? Was there not enough fat in my food? And I was hungry, and then I ate things that weren't on plan and got to an overeat. Is that what happened? If it is, how am I going to change it next time? Or that day was really stressful. I had these thoughts of it shouldn't be so busy, thoughts of my child shouldn't act this way, thoughts of my husband should have taken out the trash, whatever it might be. I had these thoughts, they frustrated me, and I chose to overeat instead of just dealing with the emotions and letting them sit there. All of those things are important information. So next week, you know, when you have a busy day, I tend to want to overeat when I have a busy day. Maybe I should be aware of this and know that that doesn't serve my goals very well. Or your husband doesn't take out the trash. I know I get frustrated with him when he doesn't take out the trash, but that doesn't necessarily mean I need to go and eat a Snickers bar. When you recognize that those are your triggers to make you feel like you deserve extra food, like you deserve a treat, like you deserve something off plan, then you can at least be aware, these are the times when I look for something other than just dealing with my emotions. These are the times when I look for food to buffer away my negative emotions. You'll also find that certain foods are not as satisfying. Again, I do cottage cheese, almonds, and carrot sticks with dip. That is consistently a very satisfying meal. The nice thing for me, what I have learned over months of eating this way, is that I never binge on cottage cheese. There's never a time I lose my shit and eat an entire gallon of cottage cheese. I will only eat my allotted portion of cottage cheese. Cottage cheese is very satisfying. It makes me feel full. It nourishes my body. I feel good when I eat it. Now, when I eat regular cheese, like a cheddar cheese chunk, I struggle with that. If I eat only almonds as my protein source, I struggle with overeating that. The only way I know that is from months of looking at this data. So once you have this data available to you and you review it, you see what works for you, and then you just rinse and repeat, recognizing that you will see results for maybe 10, 15, or 20 pounds. So maybe if you are starting with 40 pounds to lose, your first 10 or 15 pounds may be lost following one protocol, following a certain set of meals that you eat and you lose weight on. As you get to that 15 or 20 pound mark, you may find that you'd no longer lose weight on that and that you've got to mix it up. You've got to change it up. You've got to cut something out. You've got to add something new. You won't know that if you're not keeping track of it. So it's so imperative to journal your food. And again, these are the reasons why. One, there's accountability. Two, you have data available to you so you can analyze it and see what's worked and see what hasn't worked and see where you need to make changes. So I highly encourage all of you to journal your food. Yes, I have 18 months worth of food journals that I could show anybody anytime, any day. I have 18 months of recorded weights, of recorded foods, all of that. It does not take 20 minutes. It probably takes me 2 to 3 minutes a day to deal with my food journals. If you can't dedicate 2 to 3 minutes of your day to your weight loss efforts, to the one thing that has been proven time and time again to help people lose weight permanently, if you can't do that, then you're probably not that committed to your weight loss. So I want you to try it. I don't want you to write down, I had 2 tablespoons of this, I had 1 cup of that, I had 210 calories of this. No, no, no. I don't want you to write any of that down. I want you to write, I had cottage cheese, almonds, carrot sticks, and dip. I want you to write, I started eating at a -4 and I ended eating at a +4. But 15 minutes later, I realized that was really a +5. And then the next time you make that meal, you know, I gave myself a little too much food. Next time I'll cut it back a little bit. Again, the only way you know these things is if you're recording it. So I want you all to go out there and record these things. If you have any questions, if you have any concerns, if you want to tell me how much you think that this is crazy and that's not working, email me. Send me a message on Facebook through the Messenger system. I want to hear about it. I want to know. Because I really truly think that this is one of the elements of weight loss that is so critical to getting the job done. So I want you guys to try this, and I will be back next week with a new podcast, and I hope you guys are all there. Remember, if you are listening to these podcasts and you are getting helpful information from this, please leave me a rating. The ratings help other people find this podcast more easily. So it helps get this information out. So if you find it useful, other people probably will too. Please leave me a rating and a review. I will talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Delane MD podcast. More podcasts are available at DelaneMD.com. If you're ready to permanently lose weight and prevent weight-related disease, contact Dr. Delane Vaughn by visiting DelaneMD.com or on Facebook at DelaneMD. Oh.